listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I am Paul Strolley.
And you are listening to State of the Arts
on LA Talk Radio.
We'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services, for supporting us this year. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
Our thanks also go out to PerformingArtsLive.com for their support of our live arts calendar. Performing Arts Live is the most comprehensive online directory of event information for music, theater, and dance events in Southern California.
Grateful to have Paul.
Both of them aboard.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be talking to the accomplished vocalist, musical theater star, and headlining performer at nightclubs around the country, Jeannie Brandis, and hear a little from her new CD, Jeannie Brandis Kisses You Awake. So welcome, Jeannie, in the studio.
Welcome.
Hey. Hi, guys. How are you?
We are fine. We're thrilled to have you.
Glad to have you here.
Me too.
And later in the hour, accomplished stage, film, television actor, as well as writer, producer, director, and documentary filmmaker Dean Butler is back with us. Welcome, Dean.
What don't I do?
What don't you do? I just want you...
So we're trying to figure out.
I just want you to know how difficult it is for me to keep from going, hey, Jane! Jane! Sorry.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Oh, the Dean.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure you've never heard that.
Only with you.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So we got through a year.
We got through our first year.
And we got through our first.
We started what, May?
Well, 7 months. Seven and three quarters months, mm-hmm. I think, is where we landed here. Glad to have this new year.
Yeah, excited.
You know?
Yeah. And it feels like winter in Los Angeles.
And boy, doesn't it ever.
And boy, do I know that because of where I spent New Year's Day.
Well, I think you told me that you and Monica took Monica's folks.
Yeah, Monica's parents are in town.
Mother's lifelong dream you fulfilled by taking them to the Rose Parade. Is that right?
Yes. She wanted to go to the Tournament of Roses Parade. Get the jargon
Of course, the Tournament of Roses Parade. It's been a long time. I went there myself, but it's been a long time. I was there when I was a very young guy, you know, like a five or six of us, you know, in our early 20s.
Right.
And it was the thing to do, and we took sleeping bags. And we actually slept on the sidewalk overnight, which is, Dean, you know me, it is not really my style.
Probably not a high percentage thing that you're going to do now.
I was looking for a Four Seasons.
I'm trying to imagine you homeless, Michael, and I see a cardboard box and velvet ropes around it. That's what I say. Michael Sterling homeless.
The worst part was having somebody step on my head when I was asleep.
Really?
During the middle of the night.
Oh my God.
Because there was, you know, just a million people there.
But don't the flowers smell spectacular?
Isn't
that really the thing that's so amazing about it?
I wish I could say, Dean, because I got to say it. I really have to preface this because it was wonderful. We had a great time. As Michael said, Monica's mom really wanted to do it. And the event itself was amazing. I do have a bit of a beef, and my beef is with the people who structure the seating of this particular place.
Should be interesting.
They've made assumptions about their viewership and that I don't think are correct.
The viewership or the attendees?
The attendees.
Yeah.
The first being that apparently the average width of the collective American ass is 10 inches. Okay. Which is not the case. So
present company accepted.
You have 10 inches. Well, that's the first assumption. Every American ass is 10 and a half inches wide. The second one is I think they assume that every other attendee at the Tournament of Roses Parade is a multiple amputee. There is no... Some woman came in, she's just like, I'm seated next to you, and I said, not if you have arms, because there's no room. And it was tight.
And I tell you,
the woman that was seated in front of me, the way we were seated in certain cultures, we would have to be married now. It was very intimate seating.
And cold as hell on top.
And it was,
of it, right?
Yeah, that's the way I tried it. Someone said, well, what was the seating? I said, the parade was amazing. And you don't really get an idea of the scope of the size of the floats because, you know, on TV, you don't have anything to compare it to. But everything was amazing about it except for that aspect of things. You're up there and you're basically like a row of marshmallow peeps because you're all like, you know, packaged together, yeah, just shoulder to shoulder.
Well, you know, and Jeannie Brandis brought up before the show started about the fact that where are the porta potties? Where are the porta potties? Where do the people go?
They were there. And yeah, it was really wonderful because there were about, you know, million people there, and there were.
So that's an average.
And there were, and they did have, and they did have eight porta potties. So we have to give that.
And porta potties do not go together.
Did they have attendance?
What?
Did they have attendance inside the porta potties?
Yes, they do. There's a leprechaun who stands on the ledge. Yes, who has little drops of polo to put on. Oh, yes.
That's in the custom porta potties that are the trailers where you actually walk in to the indoor than the outdoor.
At least
the single porta potty probably does not have an attendant.
Really?
Hey,
probably
he,
not.
Hey, Dean, he told me he was an attendant.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
oh,
can we
we've
move
all
on?
Had those.
Can we move on to nicer topics?
Yes, we can. Wow.
Yes, move on
we
to nicer
can.
Things.
Oh, right.
The lovely and elegant Jeannie is here, and she's being so
you.
Tolerant of the boys' club here.
Oh, I'm used to it. I love my everybody I've ever worked with in my life is a man. I mean, at the end of one of the reviews that one of the guys did, he said, you know, Jeannie felt like she was making love with 10 guys at one time, because when I had did the new record, it was
see,
the
now,
man and me.
See, now I'd go see that.
No, it was... It
There's
was,
a float in that
it,
somewhere.
It was just because I always work with men, and I love them dearly, and, you know, they're very important in my musical life and real life.
Yeah, and you have some... Mm-hmm. And we were looking at, you know, in your bio material for your upcoming event, there are some... There's some Cracker Jack performers in there.
I believe in them.
Let me give you a proper intro, though. As a vocalist, our first guest has performed at Mama Rose's, Don't Tell Mamas, Danny Skylight Room, Triad, and many others in New York City. Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's, Catalina Bar and Grill, and Lunaria in Los Angeles, and everywhere in between. Also an accomplished musical theater star, here is a little taste of her new CD. This is from Jeannie Brandis, Kisses You Awake. This song is called Night and Day.
That was the beautiful voice of Jeannie Brandis, ladies and gentlemen.
And let's welcome her in the proper way. Jeannie Brandis.
Oh, my goodness.
They're in the lobby.
Oh, that's
people.
Lovely.
Yeah.
My gosh, this is a really first-class show.
It is. We spare
and
no expense here.
I love
here
it.
And
love
isn't
it.
That so? Is and it's so natural, too. Especially listen to the end of this applause. Just how natural it fades off. Just do this.
Oh.
There it is.
You're so cute.
Cute. We just
I knew
cute.
We were going to have fun.
We
I was
are...
really looking forward to this.
Well, the real,
on all levels,
the
right?
The real fun is going to happen on January 9th with you at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City.
Your beautiful room.
Thank you. Making a return engagement and bringing in the beautiful songs off of your new CD, Jeannie Brandis Kisses You Awake.
Which we will also hear at the end of the show. We're
yes.
going to pick up on Night and Day where
yes,
we're left
indeed.
Off. We'll play
indeed.
The whole thing.
And she's coming in with, as you said, Paul, some extraordinary musicians, including among them the great Shelley Markham. And I'll let Jeannie tell us about some of the other musicians that you're bringing in.
Well, it's interesting because Shelley Markham and M.B. Gordy and Tim Emmons have all been working together with me. We did our third record together, and they are so, you know, consummate. They could do my show or your show or anyone's show blindfolded. They're so remarkable. And, of course, the record, we opened with my favorite bass player in the world, who is my friend, Brian Bromberg. and we did What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life? So I feel very blessed, and that's the word I use, because for me, doing a jazz record was a even though I've dabbled in jazz my whole adult and young life and sung my whole life, to get to work with these men, it was just a labor of tremendous love, and we worked together, you know. And as a cabaret singer and as an author, it's about the lyric and turning the lyric. But as a jazz musician, I get to sit back and listen to these men that can improvise like nobody's business. Right. And for me, that's the gift, that's the joy, that's the pleasure. I'm getting to do what I've always wanted to do, which was to enjoy them and then feed off of each other. And it's kind of like acting, you know. It's you're only as, you know, if you play tennis with a great tennis player, you're going to play better. If you're acting with a great actor like yourself, and then you have somebody else, you're going to act better, you know. So that's the deal.
Yeah, you know, it extracts something out of you. You know, when you have a person who's, you know, when you're with people who are at the top of their game, it pulls something out of you. I always use the example of the movie Angel Heart with Mickey Rourke and Robert De Niro. Not the best movie ever, but the best performance Mickey Rourke ever gave because of what De Niro extracted from him in the scenes that they have together. It's just exactly an example of what you're talking about. I want to ask you something, though, about it's your fourth CD, right? And I find it interesting that you've almost done the opposite of what a lot of artists do, vocalists do, because you have original material on your first couple of CDs. You're a published author.
Right.
And so you have, it's just interesting to me that so many people do the standards and start with the standards and then do their original material later, and you did it the opposite way. But I'm curious why that, I mean, this is actually, you already answered the question because you're explaining why you did the standards of this opportunity to work with.
Well, you know what was also, and not to, I'm not here to drop names, but when I was living in New York City,
that's all we do here is drop names.
The gentleman and his wife that just left that had the show before, my best friends in New York City were Angela Bassett and Courtney B. Vance, and we lived across the hall from each other. And Angela was not in town a lot. So Courtney and I would go to Dizzy's probably two or three times a week. We'd walk down the street, and we'd hear one amazing jazz person after another that perhaps I had not heard or had not heard in a long time. I mean, I saw people that, you know, I had dreamed of seeing, and it was, you know, I had grown up in Houston with Kirk Whalum, you know, who's a consummate sax player, and all of these guys. And, you know, that was back in the 80s. We were all kind of doing our thing. But to get to go on a weekly basis and hear one magnificent jazz guy after another was, you know, an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I like, and Michael, I've always praised your place for that because, I mean, Ginny, you've played there before. It's very much a New York supper club vibe to the room.
Oh, absolutely. You mean
Michael's
room.
Place.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we opened the room. We opened the record in May at Catalina's, which is, you know, the jazz room in town. And it was wonderful. It was just an amazing experience. And I had all the guys, you know, so it was a real love-in.
Jeannie, you know what I think everyone would like to hear, I certainly would like to hear it again, is take us back to when you were first discovered, because you're from Texas.
Oh, wow.
You're from Houston.
Yeah, I am.
Right? And
yes.
You started singing there.
I did. Oh, that's a really, I'm trying to see how I can condense this. You know that
well, you
the
told
story,
me a story
basically
yeah.
about Maxine.
Yes.
It came up because I was, we were discussing something else, but I was very young, and I started... my first job in life after college was my own talk show on the radio with ABC. So that was a nice way to start life, you know.
Yeah.
And then subsequently I had a TV show after that. But anyway, to get back to this story, the man who got me Sweet and Low Sugar, you know, we all have sponsors for our shows. Mm-hmm. He said, he came in from New York. He says, I'm taking you to see this show, you know. So I'm going to try and condense this as quickly as I can. Cut to the chase. Someone had come in from Los Angeles. ICM and William Morris had come to see her. She bombed. There was a 20...
Oh, you got to say who.
No, I'm not. She bombed. There was a 20-piece orchestra in back of her. And this man from New York, Louis Lani, I'm sure he's deceased at this point, he said, don't worry, you're going up. I said, I'm going up where? He says, I'm going to get all the press and the ICM and the William Morris people to just hang out for a little while. Now, mind you, I'm a kid. You know, I'm in my little white dress with up to the neck up, the, you know, little Miss Prim and Proper Texas Southern girl. And he says, well, just tell me the keys. I said, what do you mean? Just tell me the keys. What do you want to do? Give me three songs, three keys. I went, okay. You know, because he knew I could do this. So literally, he got the press to stay. He got Maxine Messenger, who wrote all the reviews then.
The great Maxine Messenger,
who's no longer with us, unfortunately, but was Liza Minnelli's godmother, to stay, and the ICM and William Morris agents to stay. And I just sang requests with full orchestra, boom, 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 unrehearsed,
Wow. Boom.
And the next day, ICM signed me, and I was with them for 20-something years, and great experience. Well,
Maxine,
all over the
Maxine
world.
Maxine wrote something nice about you. I remember you telling me, huh?
Oh gosh, you haven't. I don't like to talk about myself like that. No, she said the entertainment of the evening was a local doll, and we'll be seeing more about her. And that's many years ago.
One of those things. So that's a baptism, though. Going up there, just, you know, three performances. Three songs.
Cold.
You know. Oh, yeah.
Unrehearsed.
I'm sweating just thinking. But then again, I sweated card tricks.
I was not going to bring that up. So, yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you know, and I was so loved by my family, which was such a blessing. I mean, I had...
Were they there to see that? Were they there that night?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
See. There you go.
Because I was young, so it was, you know, a very big blessing.
Jeannie, you also then, of course, went on to have your own television show called Women's World with Jeannie Brandis. Had some wonderful guests, including the great Arthur Miller and Walter Cronkite and Henry Mancini, Leonard Bernstein.
Wow. And Hank Mancini was my dearest friend. So something that you know, we're going to be singing his favorite song, which was Two for the Road, and we're going to do, obviously, Moon River is on the new record.
My kind of music, that's for sure. Absolutely.
What is, and then and explain this to me, that Mancini would whistle and play it for you on a piccolo flute? What is, share that.
Yeah, it's true. He had this little piccolo, you know, a very small little wind.
Some of us have
instrument.
Bigger piccolos.
Nice, Michael.
Oh, we're not going to take it down to that level.
Just saying.
Come on, Michael.
I'm sitting here going, Michael's going to pounce on the piccolo.
And you know him quite well. So anyway, I won't even, now I can't even say it, but that's okay. So anyway.
You're discussing Hank Mancini's piccolo. Go on.
You warned me about, it's him. Anyway.
Sorry.
That's okay. And so he, you know, would play. I remember one of the songs was that one, you know, Two for the Road. And he said to me, so, well, you know, this is my favorite song of all the songs that I wrote the music for. This is my favorite, so Two for the Road, which was from that amazing, you know, movie with Audrey Hepburn.
My favorite star.
Audrey Hepburn,
favorite female stars.
That was Hank's favorite.
Really?
Yeah. He adored her. And she looked very much like my mother.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Wow.
My mother looked very much like her.
Wow.
Yeah. So, beautiful woman.
One of my favorite movies, and not like the one that you automatically think of with Audrey Hepburn, Wait Until Dark.
Oh, me too.
Oh, wow.
Just
me too.
She was brilliant. Great. And what about The Nun Story?
I don't remember.
You never saw that?
Yeah. I'm much more a Wait Until Dark guy.
Nun Story, she was
although I like nuns.
Pretty
I just
brilliant. It was a very dark...
Oh, that's the title. I thought you were trying to grab the title, that Nun Story. That's the title of the film.
She was the only sane... She was a keeper of psychotic people in a ward.
And
she was a nun. A young nun. It's gripping.
Really?
Thrilling.
Wow.
Oh, I got to look that one up.
Yeah. I got to look for that one.
Very interesting.
Michael, would you please reiterate the dates and the times of the show?
Absolutely.
Jeannie's show at Sterling's upstairs at Botello's?
It is Sunday, January 9th, and the dinner seating, of course, because we're a supper club, is between 5:30 and 6 p.m. 7 p.m. showtime and reservations only, ladies and gentlemen, by calling 818-754-8700. Again, 818-754-8700. So we hope to see you there. We promise you a beautiful evening by a beautiful singer.
Oh, and God bless. Can I make a little plug, too, since
absolutely.
I was just thinking of it?
Of course.
Since I've been lucky enough to do a lot of guesting. You can go to CD Baby and buy my CD.
We were going to do that.
I'm on iTunes and, you know, YouTube and the whole nine yards. And I just wanted to mention it.
And doing very well on iTunes, too.
Yes, jeanniebrandes.com.
Jeanniebrandes.com.
B-R-A-N-D-E-S. J-E-A-N-I-E-B-R-A-N-D-E-S.com.
Now, Jeannie, is this particular show like, is it all material from the album?
Actually, no. We are doing some new, very up-tempo, songs that
okay,
we're
so
adding.
It's a nice
but
mix.
It's going to be a nice little mix.
Okay, great, great.
So.
She gave me a wink on that.
What?
She gave me a little wink there. Something between her and I.
Yeah, I could tell. I didn't want to say anything. I just know.
Oh, no, we're not getting back to the pickle.
Dean feels very awkward sitting between you. I could see it.
Does he?
No.
I'm just listening to all this. I think it's sort of fascinating that Henry Mancini has a favorite song.
Yeah.
With the hundreds of songs he wrote, that this is his favorite
Absolutely.
Song.
Yeah. Not Moon River, by the way.
Yeah, I think that's sort of fascinating.
Yeah.
A little known piece of trivia. Who would know that?
Can I tell you a quick story? Because this is really interesting, I think. And since you were kind enough to bring it up. I had the opportunity years ago when he was doing the Academy Awards to observe the old way, not on the all new technology. And I would sit because I would go to when they had the singers come in and they pre-recorded everything to the major studios at Capitol and so forth.
Right.
But what was so fascinating to me and would be to Dean, because he brought it up, was that I would sit and watch him handwrite with pencil an entire orchestration. That's the way they used to do it.
Wow.
You know, it would be on like if we were an artist, you know, and he would just be penciling in.
What, handing everything. Out parts to people?
Well, oh, no. They were all
So he was working it out and then he...
No. Those were all pre and done and whatever.
Ah.
But I'm saying when he was alone working,
he
would sit and do this with pencil for, horns and this and that and the other. And that's not how anything is done anymore.
No.
And it was absolutely fascinating to me.
And you know that so much of it is just in the head. And it's like, what's the great line from Amadeus with Mozart? And Mozart would just be like, because Salieri was astounded that he would just write down these casual notes and orchestrations. And Salieri said, you're not taking any time to do this. He goes, oh, no, it's all up in the noodle. It's all up in the noodle. This is just scribbling.
I love that.
And just, it's just like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's great. It's true. Such a genius.
Truly. That's probably why I thought of Mozart when you brought him up.
Yeah, I mean, he was such a genius. I will say in the show with Michael, that I think that he was one of the 20th century's most, consummate composers.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And timeless, because you can listen, it's you can listen to it anytime, and it just...
And who doesn't know most of the songs that he wrote?
A lot of young people don't even realize
exactly.
the source.
Exactly.
You know?
But, I mean, they're such classics that they have to be handed down from generation to generation.
Right.
Which is why we do what we do at Sterling's and other clubs, like Catalina and other places all over the country. It's very important to keep this music alive, and it's very important to come and see singers like Jeannie Brandes. And,
you
have that opportunity on January 9th. And at Sterling's upstairs, and again for reservations, please call 818-754-8700.
And
visit her website, too.
And speaking of keeping the arts alive, Michael, will you allow me to kick off our live arts calendar?
Indeed.
Okay, I will do just that. In Ryan Eggold's witty, dialogue-driven look at love and coming of age in the 90s, the lines between friendship and romance, youth and adulthood are all blurred and put to the test. Amy and Elliot is a play about growing up and all the kicking and screaming that comes with it. The show embraces the themes of friendship, love, marriage, commitment, and fear, themes that everyone can relate to. A limited 4-week run at the Stella Adler Gilbert Stage, January 7th through the 30th.
That's right. And on a subway platform in New York City, an ex-con from the South saves the life of an intellectual atheist who wasn't looking for salvation. Now the reformed murderer turned savior ventures to offer salvation of another kind, bringing the failed suicide victim back to his Harlem apartment for an articulate and moving debate about truth, fiction, and belief. The LA Times Critics' Choice, Sunset Limited by Cormac McCarthy, is now extended by popular demand through January 31st, presented by Rogue Machine at Theater Theater.
And Michael, I just want to say that Tucker Smallwood, who we had on the show early in our run when he was doing Tracers, is one of the two members of this two-person cast, and I have never read reviews like I've read for this one. There is not a bad one out
really?
There.
Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be very, very astounding, gritty theater. And it's a very intimate venue, too, so you really will get a lot out of the evening. For more information about the arts in Los Angeles and throughout Southern California, please visit performingartslive.com and, as always, stateoftheartsla.com. If there's something that you want us to talk about on the show or you want to be on the show, be sure to send us an email, stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. If you are doing a show in Southern California, let us know, and we'll try to let other people know.
Well, you know, one of the things, Paul, before we get into Dean's official interview with us today, is that...
Oh, it's not official, is it?
It
is.
Okay.
This is the unofficial part?
This is the unofficial part before okay. the official part. And it is the fact that we just gave a nice promotion to Ryan Eggold's play with Jillian Zinser. And Ryan and Jillian, excuse me, are two of the cast members of the new Beverly Hills 90210, two of the stars.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Who were with us last week in those chairs. And Dean's wife was one of the original stars of Beverly Hills 90210.
She was.
Yes. Yes.
She was.
So I thought about
two
Catherine.
Degrees of separation yeah. here.
Yes, Catherine, his beautiful wife, wonderful actress that she is. And I thought about her all the way through that interview because I was listening to that interview because I was so ill last week I could not do the show. And
I had to fly
solo last week.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was very lucky because I was here by myself and I had two of the they were really sweet kids and they were very pleasant. And as always, we're always delighted when people who are renowned for television turn that celebrity to live theater in L.A. because it gets people to go.
Exactly.
And that's what we
need. Exactly. Though I did manage to call in at the end of the show.
You did call in.
Yes.
But, and you missed, actually, you both missed an episode last week that I had a very embarrassing thing, but maybe if we have time at the end, we could talk about it. I ordered Greek food.
We have time right now. Tell
I ordered Greek food at a Greek restaurant that I know. Dean's looking at me like, this
Where?
Is the weirdest segue ever. He's like, how did we get to Greek food? Beverly Hills 90210, and then Paul
and
ordered
Greek food.
Greek food. Okay. No, but the only reason I said it is because we actually have the sound file here still in the computer from last week. But I ordered Greek food, and I used to sing, but I haven't sang in years. But that doesn't keep me from singing in the car. So I ordered the Greek food, and I go to pick it up, and the guy behind the counter goes, oh, you sing. And I'm like, what? I couldn't have seen me sing. Or he goes, you didn't hang up the phone after I ordered the Greek food. So just to see how horrific it was, I then got back in the car, put my phone on the seat, and sang exactly the same thing to hear what it sounded like, and here it is.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the songs of angry men?
From the musical Les Miserables. Okay, that's all we're playing of that.
Oh, that's so funny.
That is
not exactly an easy melody to just throw out there. That's... You really have to have purpose to sing that one.
Yeah. Such an easy singer, too.
So that's exactly what I heard. I'll have the gyro salad with a side of domates.
Eating of your heart, beating of the drums, it is a life.
And a Diet Coke, please.
Oh, my God, you're funny. That is hysterical.
That's funny. That's funny.
So, okay, enough of humiliating me. I humiliated
okay.
myself
well,
twice in 2 weeks.
But you like that, though.
I like it, too.
We all like it.
A lot of people don't know that recording. Henry Mancini.
Oh, yeah, poor guy.
Yes.
He's looking down on us going, shame on you.
Yes,
shame
on him. That spinning sound is Henry in his grave and how much I'm butchering music there.
Let's make it official, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Our next guest is best known to audiences all over the world for his portrayal of Almanzo Wilder on the long-running classic television drama Little House on the Prairie. Following Little House, he starred on The New Gidget and played Buffy's often absent father, Hank Summers, on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He is an accomplished stage actor, having appeared on Broadway in Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods. And he was also, and is also, a writer, a producer, and a director. and he founded a wonderful company called Legacy Documentaries in the late 1990s and is currently at work on various documentaries. And we'd like you all, please, Paul, are you ready to welcome Mr. Dean Butler?
Well, thank you. Thank you all. They had enough.
Thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Dean,
yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be here. And congratulations to the two of you on the beginning of your second year on the air here. That's really, really wonderful what you've accomplished.
Who would have thunk that, right?
Well, it's cool. I think you believed it, and the audience has come right with you. Very nice.
We're really delighted. We're incredibly happy with the response. We're incredibly happy with the number of downloads that people seem to be. So people are listening, and we're very grateful. And it's actually historical because Dean is our first return guest.
Is that
right?
Yes, that's
right.
You are.
And well, I feel good about that.
First person we liked enough to have back.
Well, now I don't think. Just the first.
Just the
first. Because I'm sure that there'll be many more because you love all of your guests.
I do.
Because they're wonderful.
I do. They're amazing.
So diplomatic,
excellent,
isn't he?
They're wonderful, wonderful, kind people.
Yeah.
Pay no attention to the drawings on the wall behind me with the dart holes in them.
But, you know, Michael and I have had a great year. So you work with Michael on Mondays.
Right.
And I've worked with Michael throughout the year.
Oh,
Broadway World.
That's right, Broadway World.
Now, we've been doing Broadway World packages on some of the great theater that's taken place in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Two of the profiles that we did were on you. How does that work out?
What's
that? We've done that two of the 12 packages that we did featured Paul Strolley.
I can tell you exactly how that works.
How would that work?
This, the only reason Michael works with me on Mondays is because the remainder of the week I'm pimping it for Broadway World promotion.
No, but we had great fun. We had great fun. We did packages on Annie and Baby It's You and Michael's last year's LA's Next Greatest Stage Star competition.
Which is coming up again.
Coming up now. We're going to do that again in 2011. And Leap of Faith and Life Could Be a Dream and Of Grapes and Nuts right there at your theater. Parade and Rent and South Pacific and Tea at Five and Wonder of the World. And it's just been great.
And you know what, Dean? Something that I don't think you know because I haven't had the chance to tell you that Broadway World announced over this weekend.
Yes.
Did you know this?
No. I just say yes because I'm just following along.
They're a good guess. The best videos of 2011, the best feature stories of 2011, and the best songs of 2011, the best music from Broadway. And we were number two with our coverage of Rent at the Hollywood Bowl.
Number two. Really?
For the entire year.
Wow.
In the most downloads, the most...
That's fabulous.
Billion, number of people who hit on the site to watch it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. See, and that's the thing. The thing about Broadway World and the thing about a lot of the theater websites is that there's so much content out there that you really... When you get to something that really distills it down, that's the thing to do. And those little clips, those video pieces, they say everything. And the way you guys put those together and how tight they are and the fact that you answer the questions that people, people are going to see the show. They're going to see, if they see the show, they're going to get that content. But the questions that you ask of people are the questions that people really want to know. The interview that you did with Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
That was Rent, wasn't it?
Rent. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And just, it really
he's
is.
Fabulous. I love him.
He's a sweet man.
Assembled very well.
What's that?
I said it's assembled very well.
Oh, I thought you said he was assembled very well. I'm thinking, well, how do you know?
No, that's the next show.
Yeah.
I know that he plays the piccolo.
I think
he's got a good package. Yeah, there you go.
But that package was really quite lovely, and it was so interesting because you had such, we had such a little amount of time to actually shoot that.
Gee whiz, yeah.
Because they really compressed this. It's amazing what you have to come up with in the amount of time that you have to actually do it based on what producers will actually give you to do.
Right.
And Rent turned out very, very well.
But even the things like you did the piece on Broadway World for us for
yes.
Wonder of the World
yes.
and then Grapes, and I got to see a little of the behind the scenes thing, and really when you consider how, like you said, how little time that you have,
mm-hmm.
and you never know until you get there what is going to be available to you in terms
right.
of lighting or sound or issues we had with sound, because we're right on Victory Boulevard when we were doing Grapes, and you had the traffic mm-hmm. and everything, and just you know, and then to see it, you know, 3 or 4 days later, so polished and so elegant and so well put together. If anyone has not checked that out, be sure to, because you, in effect, you two are basically the West Coast reps for Broadway World.
Yes. The correspondents for the West Coast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that, if anyone listening does check that out, BroadwayWorld.com, and be sure to look at the Los Angeles link on that, because the content there is really excellent.
And just search for a show that is your favorite, and chances are it'll be one of ours.
Yes.
Right.
And if you
put
wouldn't that be nice? But so much, as Paul said, so much content on Broadway World. It's just an amazing amount of material.
Globally. It's the most highly trafficked theatrical website, isn't it?
Yeah.
3.5 million hits a month.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Geez. That's
ridiculous. It's big.
Very well, big. Well, 2.5, and then you did the pieces on me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why it went to 3.5.
Bumped itself.
Just read the card, Sterling. Read the card, Sterling.
You are so funny.
Oh, my.
You know, what's really fun, you were talking about music and music that resonates with the American experience. There's something really fun that we just sold for December of 2011. Partner and I went into PBS and sold. Little House is such a huge part of my life and always will be. This last year, we made a documentary about Laura Ingalls Wilder,
yes.
which will be out sometime this year, hopefully, if we're able to successfully secure distribution for it. But we went into PBS in November and sold a special called Pa's Fiddle as a National Pledge special, where we will have a group of musicians from classical, jazz, rock, blues, country, update a very select selection of the 127 songs that Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote about in her 8 Little House books, which are 19th century, beautiful 19th century fiddle music. And we are updating this music, a selection of it, on this National Pledge special for PBS, which we will hopefully shoot in May of this year, and it will hit PBS for 25 months, beginning in December of 2011. We're very excited about
it. So these artists will come on and they will do these updated pieces of music. And
we have our fiddler is a player named Mark O'Connor, who is known as one of the premier fiddlers of American classic. American country standard music in the world. And Mark will be Pa's fiddle. And surrounding him will be stars from rock, jazz, country,
and
blues.
People really embraced those updated things. I remember, what was the soundtrack of the Coen Brothers film, O Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, sure.
That's a perfect example of that. Just taking those classic, I guess they would technically be folk songs, and then just, updating them and,
They're, American standards, and I think PBS was intrigued by the idea that these songs would get a contemporary treatment. Because the music is absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful, beautiful music. And the musicians who have an opportunity to play this are always marveling at what beautiful melodies these are and what beautiful lyrics they are and how they are not necessarily played in the world of, our hit-driven world.
When would they get an opportunity to play these songs?
And so we're going to provide that opportunity, and the audience is going to have the opportunity to hear it, and we're very excited about
it. Did you end up hiring Tisha Fine for this
show?
Because she wrote me a little note the other day.
Did she?
Yes, she did.
Well, I think she's fantastic.
And she said, thank you. I like this Dean Butler. That's what she said.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, she's great. And we have a wonderful director named Ryan Polito, who's going to be working with us on the program, and a wonderful line producer out of Nashville who's going to be really running the line for us and crewing it and so forth. And we think we're going to shoot it in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, because that's where Pa played this music.
Oh, that's perfect. And,
is it instrumental, or are there vocals with
it? There will be vocals.
All these rock and roll stars.
But it will be driven by the fiddle.
Okay.
And everything will support the fiddle, and it's really going to be great.
Wow.
That's awesome,
Dean.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
We're really excited about it.
And in addition to the what you mentioned, the Laura Ingalls Wilder documentary, you also did legacy documentaries, did a lot of content for the DVD extras for the...
Right. Little Houses, but that's one of the first things that we did when we started Legacy was make a contact with NBC Home Entertainment and Imavision, and because of my involvement in the program, it was a very natural, it was not a hard sell to make. Right. I know the people, I know the program, I know what the audience loves about it because I continue to support it, and I'm out there a lot and listen and interact with people. So it was a very natural thing to do. We've made, I think, about 5 hours of bonus content, which when you look at, you know, bonus content as being 15, 20-minute packages, 10-minute packages, 5-minute packages, 5 hours of bonus content's quite a bit of content.
There's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of content, yeah. It's been great. And I think Little House, I always say Little House will, you know, I'm not anxious to get there, but when my time comes, the first line of my obituary, Little House on the Prairie, will figure somewhere in that first line. I just know it because it is the thing that I have embraced more thoroughly than anything else I've ever been involved with.
And Dean, if you're going to be attached to something like that, you'd be attached to an American classic.
Pretty great. Yeah.
Exactly,
and
which is still being discovered you know, on a daily basis somewhere all over the world.
There's no question. Someone. The show continues to run in over 100 countries around the world every single day. More people are seeing it because of DVD and so forth. Now, the show has not gone to digital download, but certainly people can find episodes of it on YouTube. It has been illegally uploaded to YouTube, and
NBC
has not yanked it down, so I guess they're willing to allow it to be there. And so people are seeing it, and it has endured beautifully. And
did you ever have any idea at that time of your life that would happen with that show?
I knew I wanted to be a part of it, but I had no idea what it would do. And yet, if I'd really been tuned in to I had never read the books before getting the program. I've obviously since read the books and love the books. But this had been around since 1932 before it went on the air. You know, before it went on the air, what would it have been? It was 40 years later on NBC and then ran for 10 years on NBC and has been a constant around the world ever since it first premiered in 1974. So you know, these books have been read by over 60 million copies of the books have been sold in over 40 languages. It's an amazing American institution.
And I think everybody from the show, Melissa Gilbert and yourself and Allison, everybody became almost legends, you know, from this show. Michael certainly, of course.
Oh my God! Well, Michael was a legend before it began, which is what helped drive it forward. And he gave us all opportunities. I mean, you know, no one other than maybe Victor French, who had done a lot of work in television. But Michael hired people who he believed were right to be these people, and he didn't have to hire. The star quotient was handled with his casting. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to do anything else, and he certainly helped make people. But he had the luxury of hiring who he wanted to hire, and you know he was great that way. I mean, I will be forever grateful that I had that opportunity.
You said he gave you quite the education on television.
Oh, watching Michael work was extraordinary.
And the show was on for 10 seasons, but you came aboard what, 4 seasons?
In the beginning of the 6th season.
Of the 6th.
So
okay.
I was there 6 through 10.
So it was already well established
a huge hit
to come aboard.
Hit when I got there, and I stepped right into a storyline that was guaranteed to be a very popular storyline for people who loved those books. You know, when Laura meets the man she's going to marry, and that romance goes along and ends up in the marriage, guaranteed to be a very significant audience tune in. And the numbers were great, and the following was great, and it continues. You know, there is a whole generation of women who started I was first sort of there when they were teens, right. And now I have, you know, women in their 40s and 50s approaching me and, you know, and telling me how much they loved the program back in those days. It's and I sign books. It's really fun. You know, you sign book from a that was a grandmother's book to her daughter, to her granddaughter.
Wow,
and there
sweet.
Are, you know, multiple generations of people. The material really sustains beautifully.
Oh, very much.
Yeah.
Right, I get,
yeah.
Of course it
would. And he doesn't even play the piccolo.
No,
not a lick.
Okay, we got about 5 minutes left, and we want to do what we always do, which I think
Jeannie's like blanching over here.
No, I'm blushing. And you and I are both blushing.
We're both blushing, but
both
no one.
Fair and blushing.
I was hoping that you would just be the one to blush because
no,
I would like to think
are.
I've gotten past that in my life, but no.
Well, you know what you're leading into, Paul, which I wanted to bring up with Dean, and because we have this beautiful singer and Jeannie. With us, and Dean is a beautiful singer from Broadway, and not only in Into the Woods, as I said at the top of the show, but he's toured the world playing Tony in West Side Story.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's done Company with Carol Burnett and all these wonderful stars.
God.
And you've got to miss that a little bit, don't you?
It's really fun. You know, there's an opportunity to, again, the Little House world. I've been told that, you know, Little House, the musical, was out there with Melissa for a year, and it's going to come back and in the fall or the summer of 2011, and I'm hopeful of getting an opportunity to be a part of that. I just think it would be an amazing.
They'd be lucky to have you.
Well, it'd be great fun to be a part of it. And
because she plays Ma,
and I would go back.
Oh.
I would do it and play Pa.
Oh,
what
that
a
would be
fantastic,
great. Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Really fun. Pairing that would be.
Well, no, she wouldn't do. I don't think they would ever put us together. But I think that they. I think they. Melissa had her time out there with it and. Playing opposite the man and a wonderful actor named Steve Blanchard, who was my cover in West Side Story 20 years earlier. It's so interesting. So it was great to see Steve out on the road. And then, there would be someone else that would be Ma, I think.
Can I tell a quick Stephen Sondheim, like, two-second thing that's quite
exciting? Do we have time?
We have to initiate.
I love Stephen Sondheim.
Well, who doesn't love Stephen Sondheim?
And in 1984, I flew to New York from Texas to see... Sunday in the Park with George, and I was so blown away by him. I asked someone I knew up there to get me his address, and I sent him my book of poetry. And 5 days later, I have it in a frame. I got a thank you note from Stephen.
Isn't that
fantastic?
Yeah, but this guy returned. What?
Five days later.
But a great, a great ethic that he had.
I loved your book. Thank you for sending it.
Would you
thank you for
Stephen.
The compliments about Sunday. Oh, I told him I cried. I'd never seen anything that moved me as much.
That was a brilliant show.
Well, when you called him, he called you back. I mean, you know, Stephen, when you're involved with Stephen, or if you have a reason to contact him, he is very, very responsive, which is a really sort of mind-blowing thing when you think about the people that are probably coming at him all the time.
Yeah, you know, you get those people, though, that are so at the top of their game and so... that they don't really need to impress anyone anymore.
Right.
So they actually, it turns out that the people that you think would just be the most highfalutin are actually the most grounded people.
I think
because
you're right.
of, you know, I mean, look at me.
I've always said that about
did you,
Paul.
Did you? Thank
you. Sure.
If you could only hear the eye rolling. The eyes are rolling so loud over here.
Oh, God.
We have to do our initiation.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Jeannie Brandes.
And for both of you, you
and
can
Dean.
Click on this, too. We always like to end our shows with our performers sharing their worst performance experience or embarrassing performance
experience. I told mine the last time I was here.
Oh, but you have to have another
one.
Jeannie, you mentioned something to me outside about the national anthem. Was that what you
Oh, yeah, but that was lightweight, but it's quick, so I can say it quick.
It's quick, but it's
jarring. It was jarring. I can tell it quickly. I was singing the national anthem for the Cleveland Indians when they were really on top of their game, and they flew me out from New York, actually, and it was a night game at 7 o'clock, and the governor was there and all of these people, and there was this downpour. I mean, huge downpour.
Oh, boy.
And for baseball, they put you on the grass, literally. Literally.
Yeah.
And then they hand you this microphone. And it was pouring.
Yeah.
You know. So they literally took everybody off the field. I mean, yeah. And cut to the chase. They move you back to this little box while these 20 million men are, you know... cleaning the field. But people have actually, you know, died from being electrocuted.
Yeah, this is, and that's
and someone
what Judy
said, do I ever get scared of singing the national anthem?
That
no,
would do it.
This scared me that I would be electrocuted.
Wow. And that's when you changed your billing to the electric Jeannie Brandis, wasn't it?
The electrifying.
Yeah, the electrifying.
Electrifying.
Yes.
But that was my,
yes,
oh, wow. My God.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Dean. Well, I told the last time I was here, I told the story about West Side Story. I have another. I guess it would be another
where
West Side.
You dropped
West.
Your pants on stage.
Yeah, exactly. The yeah. When I was.
Oh, you're going to have
dream,
to be
the
more
dream specific. Ballet and feeling a draft because my Levi's 501s were wide open and you know, down center in front of you know in front of 2,500 at the Cozy Nenken Theater in Tokyo.
Wow. In Tokyo.
Yeah, Tokyo. They were very polite. No one laughed. Maybe good. Afterwards they laughed, but they didn't laugh during the show. Japanese audiences are very quiet when
yes,
you're performing. It's like a museum piece.
Yes, really.
And then they're thunderous at the end, but they don't make a sound during the show.
Very
respectful. Because they don't want to throw off your concentration. I had lots of problems with... I would tie my Converse high tops in double knots, mm-hmm. and I would my, you know, I'd be so fast changes that I would fumble around and they would have to cut my shoes off me with knives, you know, to, and then relace them up for me. It's just ridiculous. And all these things, fast changes, and you have all these people in fast change booths and you're working and my hands are fumbling on the laces. So, you know, in the bedroom scene with Maria, there were probably times when I should not have had the Converse on, but like, you know, one like hanging off my foot is my Converse All-Star shoe.
Yes, and those didn't have Velcro.
No Velcro. This is lace
right.
time,
that's
and
right.
not easy. Yeah.
Did you see the show when it played the Fantasia show?
Catherine and I talked about going to see it.
Should have called
we,
me.
And yeah. we just didn't get there. It would have been fun.
It was spectacular. We had the two stars with us
wow.
In the show, and it was a beautiful, beautiful.
I bet that dancing is so powerful. It's just
well,
the
for the moment,
is,
that
and
overture.
And it was the same. It was the same choreography too. They
they only allow it to be done. You cannot do it. Without the
really?
Original choreography,
I didn't
if
know
it's
that.
An A production,
oh, okay.
that's in the contract. It is a museum piece.
Yeah,
the cool thing is it was in Spanish and English.
Oh wow,
we are wrapping up.
And we want to thank both of our guests, Jeannie Brandis and Dean Butler, for joining us here
yes,
today.
Indeed. Thank you.
And as promised, we're going to let Jeannie sing us off the air once again with Night and Day from her new CD, which is Kisses You Awake. Is that it?
Jeannie Brandis, yeah. Kisses
here
You Awake.
Here we go.
Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley, right here on LA Talk Radio.